Thank you all very much. So the sermon title today is a Clint Eastwood one, Make My Day. And you may be wondering, what in the world am I talking about? Well, when we think of the character that Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry, or whatever that character is, he's after the bad guy. And when he catches the bad guy, he just kind of eggs him on like, go ahead, raise your gun. I'm going to put an end to it. Well, that's not really what Make My Day really means in our sermon series today. It has more to do with what actually makes our day. So I want you to think for a moment. What actually makes your day good? Is it your family? Is it your friends? Is it other people? Or is it Jesus? For most of us, I would think if we thought about it, we would have to admit that it is other people. In Deuteronomy 38:19, it says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live. What? We have a choice. We do. We do have a choice in whether our day is going to be a good day or a bad day. And you know, the thing about it is, we can either choose to make it a day full of life, or we can make it a day that is full of cursing. Now, when I prepared this sermon, I did not have an idea this was going to happen at all. But I got to live out that sermon, this sermon today, as things were happening. There were people that stepped forward and were there for assistance. And it would have been very easy as the time ticked by and the pain was for me to get a little agitated because things weren't happening fast enough. But something in the passages about the Beatitudes kept coming in my mind, kept moving forward and letting me know that, yes, this is extreme pain, but I have a Savior who knows what extreme pain is. I found one of the nurses waiting there before they ever gave me the morphine drip, and I was just saying the name of Jesus, kind of under my breath, Jesus, Jesus. And she came in, she says, are you okay? And I'm like, yes, I'm just calling on my Savior because right now I need his help. And so she said, well, we're trying to work as fast as we can. And I said, you know, I know that. And the firefighters and the EMTs and the nurses and doctors, I kept saying, I can't thank you enough. I just can't thank you enough. I don't believe people thank you enough. I don't know whether it had anything to do with me being there or not, but I knew I didn't want to speak anger or pain into the lives of people who were simply trying to do what they could to help me out. When I finally was released to go back to the airport, I get to Southwest, who had by this time had already known. The police had gone and they had talked to Southwest, and they knew that even though I was very early for my flight, I was not going to make it for that flight. And they didn't know how to contact Denver Air. So that was for something for me to try to do later. But when I got there, the lady at Southwest looked at me and she says, and I gave her the stuff from the hospital. She says, you need a note to fly. And I'm like, this is all they gave me. And she goes, well, I have to have a release from a doctor. And you all know if you call the emergency room, you're not going to get anybody on the phone. But I tried. And eventually, she finally scheduled everything and released me. I could have gotten mad. I could have said, your airport's the one that screwed this up for me. I could have laid blame. And that's not to make me any perfect person. It is not. And I will tell you, if I hadn't prepared for this sermon, I don't know that my witness would have been very good through all of this. But I took a breath and I said, well, it's in the Lord's hands. And that's what I told her. And within a couple of minutes, she had everything together. They wheeled me back to Southwest, where I pretty much sat there until they wheeled me on the plane. And then I had to change planes in Baltimore. And then I had to sit some more because, of course, it wasn't a quick flight to Denver. And as I'm sitting there going, God, this is so uncomfortable. Help me see some glory in this. Help me to be your witness. And sure enough, and those of you that are on the prayer chain, you got that message. A lady that her daughter had been shot in the head by her boyfriend or estranged husband. And she didn't know whether her daughter was going to live or die. And she, like me, was trying to make all of these little flights so she could get her daughter. She knew that prayer works. Folks, this sermon would have sounded a whole lot different if all of this had not occurred like it did. And it's funny because as Hannah was trying to text and email me back and forth, she was like, somehow or another, the scripture was not the right scripture in the swatch thing. And I said, it's the Beatitudes. And she goes, the what? And I told her the blessed passages. And she says, but that's not what it says in the CEB. It says, happy are the people. And I said, because that's the more direct translation. Happiness, you have control over. Seeing as yourself being blessed rather than cursed is your choice. You can either decide whether it is good or it's bad. And so this is a picture of what I was raised with. It may have been the same ones that you were raised with. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after justice and righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So I'm going to read that with the word happy and see if it doesn't change your perspective a bit. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Happy are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Happy are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Happy are they that hunger and thirst after justice and righteousness, for they shall be filled. Happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Happy are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Happy are they that suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That one word switching to happy puts a different perspective. Nobody holds your happiness. Now there's a ball game that's going to be played today. Some people may think that holds their happiness, but it doesn't. Winning the lottery may hold some people's happiness, but it doesn't. You have a choice. And God is telling us through every situation you can possibly go through, you can choose to be happy. You can choose to see God's glory. You can choose to know that you're not alone. And that you have been privy to being shown the kingdom of God. Now, one of the things that in the conference we're doing is changing that word kingdom to kingdom. Because if you look at the early Hebrew and Greek, it is more kingdom than it is kingdom. Kingdom for us has images of somebody's control or somebody's territory. Kingdom means that we are all in this together, working together. And so when Alice shared with me her pain, I felt so blessed and happy that I could not only pray, but I could share that with others to pray. And for just a short amount of time, it allowed me not to focus on how bad things were going in my life right now and to realize I could be happy. Granted, it's a horrible situation. It's a tragic situation, but there's so much that we can do about it. Our own little community has a mission to help women that have disgruntled loved ones. We are struggling here in the valley for people to see that mental health is important. And yes, you can suck it up and move on, but eventually it's going to explode. And we don't want an explosion that's going to take life. Instead, we want to have a spiritual explosion so that people see God. They see that God is always with us, making a way. It opens up the scriptures that we know so well in different ways to know that we are a living part of that scripture. It's not something that was written hundreds of years ago and only means something that we memorize. Instead, it's something that affects us as God's word is lived through us. So this morning, how can I make your day? How can I influence you to find your happiness? God will help you see that. Let us respond.